Hey guys, welcome back to the Mess Mixologist. Thanks for joining us and I hope you're all keeping well. Today we've got an interview with Becky Milton, yacht charter specialist at Bluewater based in Monaco. What we'll do, go across to the interview, have a chat with Becky, and then let's come back and make her favourite drink. Well, I'd like to welcome Becky Milton to the show. Becky's yacht charter specialist from Bluewater. Hey Becky, how are you?
Right, Maguire. Very well, thank you.
Whereabouts are you based at the moment then?
I'm based in Antigua. Well, the office is in Monaco, but due to current conditions, I'm working from home a lot, as you know. Yeah. But Antibes is my base. That's where I live. It's been my home for a little while now.
Very nice indeed. So let's get into like what makes Becky Milton who she is. Obviously, we're friends, but everyone else doesn't know you as well as I do. So I know you're a sailor. Tell us how you got into that in the early days.
Well, I'm a bit of an unusual one because most sailors, especially racers, they've done it since they were kids. But I didn't get into it when I was a kid. In fact, I was sat on Brighton Beach about 13 years ago, watching all the pretty yachts go up and down, going, oh, wish I had a mate with a yacht. And then a couple of weeks later, my neighbour came around and he went, oh, I'm going to do the competent crew certificate. Do you want to do it with me? And I went, what's that? And it was this week where you paid, you go and you learn how to sail and you get a nice certificate at the end of it that says competent.
Yeah.
Which is the first time I've ever been called competent. So in fact, he didn't go and do it. I did it and he did do it. And I, do you know what? Up until that point, it was probably the best week of my life, Maguire.
Really?
I was hooked from that point onwards.
And where did you do that? UK or abroad?
In Brighton.
Oh, in Brighton?
Yeah, in fact, we sailed from Brighton. It was a little old boat. What was the boat called? Anyway, a little old 30 foot boat. I was going to say meter. That's how...
You spent too long in the super yacht world, Becky.
Yeah, 30 foot boat. And we sailed to Southampton, down your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
And I had a bit of a jolly around the old Solent, came back and I went, right, this is for me. And then for the next couple of years, I spent all my weekends and all my holidays just getting my sailing miles, my nautical miles. And I worked through my day skipper and my yacht master and just did loads and loads of racing, ruined my knees. I wasn't a water person at all before then. So it's actually, you can get into it quite late in life.
Okay, one question for me. So if someone's watching that wants to get into sailing, you got the certificate, how did you then find a boat to race on?
So once you've done your competent crew, you don't have to do competent crew, it doesn't have to be quite that structured, but once you know your way around a boat, it is quite easy to find a boat to race on, certainly in the Solent, if you're lucky enough to live Southampton, Portsmouth, all those really saily places, Cork, you know. You just go on to, there's a couple of websites, I think one's called Crew Finders, but you just go to your local yacht club and just put a little sign up on the notice board saying, oh, I'm looking for a boat. And there's always, I mean, it helps if you're a girl because there's always a lot of older male owners.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, they go, oh, all right, okay, will you wear a bikini? Like, no, nobody wants to see that, mate.
But well, not at our age, but maybe when we're younger.
Yeah, exactly. Back in the day, maybe. But honestly, it's actually quite easy because there's a lot of owners that have that, you know, I say smaller yachts, I mean like 30, 40, 50 foot yachts, who do need crew to get the yacht out of the marina and go sailing. You can't always just do it on your own or with your missus. So people do need crew. And if you're happy to do it for free, then you'll build up your, and once you get into that community, hanging out at the yacht clubs, You meet loads of boat owners and two a penny, mate.
Happy day. So how did you get from yacht racing in the Solent to charter broker in Antigua, Monaco?
You know what, actually, it's funny. Do you ever like look back at your life path and figure out how you got where you are?
No, I often look back at mine with just tears of regret, but go on.
That's because you're always hungover, Maguire. I've pinned this down to one guy. So when I did my day skipper, which is quite a low down certificate, you do competent crew for a week, then you can do your day skipper pretty much straight afterwards. And my instructor for day skipper was a guy called Adam in Brighton, and we stayed friends. So he was my instructor. We stayed friends. A couple of years later, he went, oh, I'm going to move to Antibes. And I went, oh, where's that? Is that in the Caribbean? He went, no, it's in the south of France. And then for years, he was like emailing me going, you've got to come down. You could get a job on a boat. It's brilliant here. And in the end, I think about 10 years ago, I was going through a particularly messy breakup, as usual. I went, right, that's it. I'm off to France. I sent my CV out to about 30 companies in between Monaco and here. And a couple of them replied. I had interviews, and I went with Blue Water in the end. And the rest, as they say, Maguire.
Yeah, it's history.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I met you, you just came running into the Blue Water office with tickets for something incredibly glamorous. And I was like, wow, like, who's that? So you've now entered the world of super yachting. I know the weird and wonderful of requests. What's the weirdest demand you've had?
The weirdest demand, what, from a guest or an owner?
Well, let's go with both.
High net worth individual.
Yeah, go with both.
Oh my God, do you know what? That is a podcast series all of its own, mate.
Have we got a spin-off already?
We have got a spin-off because unfortunately, it's funny because I was talking about this to my colleague yesterday because I said, oh, I think Ben's going to ask me what was the weirdest ever request. And we went through all the funny ones that we've had, and most of them I can't tell you on air. I can't publicly, but I promise when I next see you, I will tell you everything over a gin and tonic.
Well, I'm due down. I booked on a flight for the 27th of March. So fingers crossed. And I promised I'm going to bring you down some drinks.
Amazing.
Yeah. Give us one demand that you can tell us then.
Right. So there's the ones that everyone's heard of. Like we did have a client that will only bathe in Evian. You have to fill the bath with Evian water. That's actually not that uncommon. You'd be amazed. And you always get the ones where the guests or the owners, they fly in their pets by private jet. But one of my favourites is the flying in the pets by private jet is not actually that unusual. But my favourite is we had this guy on board. I think they were in the Greek island, and the crew could not procure his favourite brand of toothpick. I say tooth because I'm from Bristol, isn't it?
Bristolian, like.
So they couldn't get his favourite brand, and he went, well, I've got to have my... I think they were flavoured or something special. So he flew in by private jet these toothpicks. I think it cost like 80 grand. And I was sat there thinking, those toothpicks are living a better life than you or me today.
Yeah. I mean, I've got some here if you needed some, I'd have posted them, Becky.
Fly them over, mate. Fly them over.
I mean, it's a difficult one because I've been drinking with you a lot of times, so I feel I know some of your kind of like drink routine, but what's the best drink you've had and where?
The best drink I've had and where? It's like an emotional memory, really, because I was ticking something off my bucket list, which was to go to the Ice Hotel in Sweden. So I was inside the Arctic Circle by about a couple of hundred k's, and obviously it's freezing because everything's made of ice, including the bed. Everything is ice. Hence the name. Clues in the title.
Gives it away, doesn't it?
Yeah. And they've got this bar, obviously made of ice, and you can drink your Jaeger bomb from an ice glass and all that. But they also did this amazing, and it's so simple, but it was amazing. This, I guess it's a punch. It was spiced rum, but really good quality spiced rum. A load of fresh orange juice, oranges as well, and a load of cinnamon sticks, and probably, I don't know, some star anise or something. But that was the main ingredient. And we took a hip flask with us because, you know, we knew we would be going out into the snowy wilderness on snowmobiles looking for the northern lights. And every time we had an excursion to go out where we knew we were going to get freezing cold, we'd go into the bar and go, could I have some more of that punch, please? And they'd pop it in the old hip flask.
Nice.
Go, yeah. No. Warm.
Memories, they definitely help attribute to, like,
the best drink and or bet, like, it's like your tomato soups of this world, isn't it? It's not necessarily like the best food you've ever, but the memories attributed to like your childhood and tomato soup make it quite special.
It's like a taste memory, isn't it? It's like, and I completely get that. I can think of quite a few, especially with cocktails, I think, because cocktails are so special. If you're having a good time, you kind of link that to the cocktail you're drinking. Strawberry rum daiquiris for me, that's another good memory that comes back when I think of them. It's just, yeah, there's a real nostalgia with good cocktails.
Yeah. What about the worst drink you've been served or the biggest letdown you've ever had with a drink?
Biggest letdown? Actually, do you know what? Don't laugh, but I think this is basically an international crisis that we have on our hands at the moment, Maguire.
Oh, God.
This is a global tragedy where everywhere around the world right now in bars, people are being served flat champagne. And I want it to stop.
I've never known you do anything other than drink a bottle of champagne. So if it's flat, it's got to be down to you not drinking it quick enough.
No, but if you go, well, I mean, that's why I order bottles, because if you just order a glass, they get flat. One out of the fridge from 2 days ago. It's not on. It happens all the time. And like, you have to go, oh, there's no bubbles in it, and look like a right knob.
Right. So global crisis in global flat champagne, crisis. Something that will maybe this show could try and kind of start some campaign against it.
Yeah, actually, yes. The anti-flatsers.
Right, I'll get onto that after this.
Or save the bubbles. We'll get Greenpeace onto it.
I like that. Save the bubbles. Bring back the bubbles. But I heard you in one of our evenings somewhere. I could have just been a little drunk, but I heard once you said that a rumour about mint and guests wanting a certain amount of mint in their mojito and a stewardess got into a spot of bother because she didn't put enough.
Oh my, that's actually one of my funny yacht charter stories. So I could probably tell this one actually. So it's a very quick story. Because I used to be a crew agent for when I started at Blue Water, I was a crew agent. And so you get all the gossip from the crew coming in, and they've been fired for this reason and that reason. This girl came in, she was devastated. And she'd been fired from the yacht because Madame, as we was the owner's wife, Madame had fired her because she hadn't put enough mint in the mojito. And I completely agree. I don't know what you're so upset about.
Full gross misconduct. You have paid nearly enough attention to the mint leaves in this. And that was it, struck off. More of the story to the stews out there, be careful how many mint leaves you use, because it could be life or death.
Yeah, and also, and I know you love a syrup, but don't use sugar syrup in a mojito. Use the brown sugar, crush it. I don't want no syrups in my mojitos.
Right, so I'm actually dead against that. And I'll tell you why, because
go on.
As cool and funky as it seems to put brown sugar into a mojito, you're putting sugar into a cold drink. So what you end up with is just a granulated, non-sugary drink. Whereas if you put a syrup in there, you're actually getting the sugar that you're hoping to get out of the cold sugar granules that you've got in the drink.
Right, okay. Well, you are the expert, so I'm not going to argue. But I just love when it crunches. I like crunching the sugar in. They're putting syrup in as well, because if you get it right, it is sweet as well. But you're right, putting sugar into a cold drink doesn't make any scientific sense.
No. So, but I will try it at the end of the month. We'll try it, and I'll bring down some. I actually made a homemade syrup for my mojito, a citrus one. I don't have it here, but we're doing a takeaway.
I think if they're homemade and they're lovingly made, like, you know, you obviously you put a lot of your own time and genius into it, Maguire. But it's those the ones that you can just buy off. I just find them insulting. The ones that they're just like, oh well, put some love into it, into my mojito. Yeah. More mint in it as well.
No, I do agree. So as part of the show, I make someone's favorite drink. So what is your favorite drink? Hit us with it.
My favorite drink, if I'm really gonna spoil myself, is it's something that I had when I was working. I used to work in Montenegro, big super yacht marina, very high end, lots of nice bars and restaurants. And one of the restaurants was like a Japanese restaurant and lovely food, I'm sure. But I used to just go in there for their ginger martini, and they used to squeeze the fresh ginger, and then they'd juice the apples. And it was just literally fresh ginger juice, apples, and maybe I think I had a squeeze of lime. And it was literally the best martini I had ever had. And in fact, because obviously martinis aren't cheap, they're like 15 euros a pop, I was starting to bankrupt myself going in there all the time drinking their martinis. So I had to learn how to make it at home. So I do know how to make them, but I haven't made one for years. But again, it's the memory thing. It's the association with that time in Montenegro. Ginger martini.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Well, I've done my own take on it, which I'll do once we get off the interview, but I'll talk you through it. So we're going to use, well, first of all, we're going to use the King's Ginger. It's a beautiful ginger liqueur with a hint of citrus to it. Nice. I found it in Waitrose. So I thought, for you, Becky, darling, Waitrose is the only place I should source.
It's Waitrose or nothing, Maguire. Waitrose.
I've ditched your Smirnoff and I bought a bottle of Absolut Vodka for you.
What, so you've upgraded to Absolut?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Absolutely not, is what we say. Where's my Grey Goose? Also, that bottle's too small anyway.
Hold on. For you, Becky, I actually bought the Magnum of Grey Goose.
Thank you, Maguire.
That's all, a pleasure. And then we're going to do that with some freshly squeezed apple juice, some cloudy apple juice, a touch of sugar syrup, and a little dash of lime juice, freshly squeezed lime juice as well. So hopefully you'll like it over the camera, and I promise you I'll bring some down at the end of the month.
You promise? I can't wait. Make sure you get on that plane, Benjamin.
I will, fingers crossed.
Okay. Well,
a big thanks for coming on the show, Becky. It's been fun.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Looking forward to seeing you soon. And yeah, stay safe.
You too. See you
Take
soon.
Care. Bye.
Well, thanks for joining us, Becky, and giving us an insight into the charter world. Let's keep an eye on how many leaves we put in those mojitos so we all keep our jobs, especially me. Right, so Becky's drink was an apple and ginger tini. It gave all those memories of her time in Montenegro, and I'm hoping I can make something that will be similar. So first off, we're going to put a double shot of vodka in there. We are using the Absolut because I'm keeping the Grey Goose for special occasion. We're then going to use 20 mils of the King's Ginger. Like I said, this is a ginger liqueur. It's got a little hint of citrus to it as well. Available online in the UK, stocked in Waitrose. Then I'm going to add 15 mil of freshly squeezed lime juice that we decanted earlier. We have iced our shaker already. We're going to add 5 mils of simple syrup. And we're going to add 75 mils of freshly squeezed apple juice. Do not use anything from concentrate in this. You need those natural flavours coming through. Then we're going to give that a good shake. Grab our strainer and into ideally our chilled martini glass. We've garnished that with a nice fresh slice of apple. Cheers to everyone. Cheers to Becky. Thanks for joining us. Oh, that's good, Becky. Tune in next week and we'll go through another drink. Stay safe, everybody. Thanks for joining.